The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
I want to go back to that story of St. Patrick as you turn, please, to our scripture for today, which is in Philippians. You see it there before you. Philippians, where am I? 3:17. Go ahead and turn there. But let's just remind ourselves again about the heart of that story of St. Patrick. Imagine that you were minding your own business one day at your house, and somebody from, let's think of a really good example. Well, just imagine the most pagan, foreign place you can think of. They swooped in and grabbed you and carted you away. And then they kept you in servitude there and did menial tasks. You had grown up an educated person. You are now finding yourself in a, where?
Harvard.
Okay. And then you escape. You graduate. And then, in the still of the midnight hour, God's Holy Spirit says, I want you to go back. I want you to go back there. Because I've got a message I need to send. I have something I want you to share. Now, your citizenship is still in your old homeland, but you're going to go to a foreign country, and you're going to go to a place that you don't like very much, and you're going to live your life out there. You're going to give your life out there. Can you imagine? When I was a senior in college, I went away from home for the first time overseas. I had been to Canada. I'm not sure that counts. Does that count? I'd been to Canada, but I was a senior in college and found myself on the other side of the world, at least to me, in England. And I don't know, this may be a shock to you, but Americans are not perceived that well in foreign countries. Were you aware of this? We have a bit of a reputation, depending upon where you go. And you know what it is, that we're loud and obnoxious and think we own the world and so on and so forth. For example, if you ever go, say, to the Holy Land and you see some doughy guy with big hair wearing loud clothes being in charge of a group, you know he's going to be an American. You just know. But they also have their own stereotypes over there. And one time somebody came to me and said, you want to hear a joke? And I said, sure, why not? He said, it's the difference between heaven and hell. And I said, yeah, okay, that sounds interesting. And he said, okay, here you go. In heaven, the English are the police, the French are the cooks, and the Germans are the engineers. I said, okay, got it. He said, in hell, the English are the cooks, the French are the engineers, and the Germans are the police. And so they have reputations as well about who they are. Because our citizenship says something about our attitudes and behavior, our identity, who we are. In fact, the English don't have a very good reputation about being good tourists. If you go over to the continent, you hear all kinds of stories about the English being obnoxious and annoying and all that kind of stuff. Today I want to talk with you about your citizenship in heaven. We have a heavenly passport, as it were, and we belong there. We are citizens there. But it is also true to say that we belong here, and we have a purpose here. In my tradition growing up in the Baptist church, we had a lot of hymns about going home to be with Jesus and heaven and Beulah land and all of those. And it's very much part of the Baptist tradition. And one of them was, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. It's bouncy and it's fun, but it's not good Bible. Why? Because we do have a citizenship in heaven, but we also belong here. Because our purpose is to participate with God in His purposes for the world. And though in some ways we have been carted off to Harvard, Our citizenship is still in heaven, but we've got something that we have to do. I want you, you're already there, aren't you, in Philippians? I want to read our passage today, and there are several themes that I want you to be on the lookout for. We've asked God's Holy Spirit to illuminate His Word so that we don't camp out just in the Word, but that the written Word points to the Word made flesh. And I want you to see what words and phrases and ideas the Holy Spirit illuminates and makes shimmer. I believe that God's Word comes alive when we ask the Holy Spirit to do that. So let's see where that happens. And as I am reading, the particular things I want you to think about are, the context. If you know anything about the context of Paul and why he's writing this, we'll talk about that just for a little bit. Also, I want you to think about the theme, the larger themes that we're using during this season of Lent. In our small groups, which just launched last week, and round two is this week, and by the way, it's not too late to jump in. Pastor Rick will tell you more about that later. We're thinking about themes like eternity and mortality. So going from, as we said in our Thursday morning communion series, we're going actually from death to life, although the world would say it's the other way around. I also want you to be on the lookout for where present and future are highlighted in this passage, the now and the then. So keep that in mind as I read to you now Philippians 3, 17 through 4, 1. Are you there? Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But, you might want to circle that, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring how many things? Everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like His glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I've said to you before that I used to work with a pastor in the long ago who used to often say this phrase, I don't know when the Lord is coming back, but my ticket's bought and my bag is packed. And there's some good things about that. The notion is, I'm ready to go. The problem with that, however, is that it sounds a little bit like you're going to live your life on the platform waiting for the Jesus train to pull in. And that is apparently not what Paul is talking about. He's talking about, what does he say? Stand firm. Look at verse number one. My brothers, you who I long for, I love, my joy, my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Now, we want to unpack that a little bit more here in just a minute. But let me go back and ask you, where did you see those themes that I was talking about? For example, death to life or life to death, present and future. Do you see some of those things there? Where? Share with me. Okay, so Christy draws our attention to the place that talks about pattern. Where do you see that? Tell me. Yeah, verse 17. He's saying, I want you to join with others in following my example and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. All right. The next verse also talks about living, but it's an opposite to those who are living in the pattern that Paul gave. It's those who are living in some other kind of pattern. And what is that pattern that they're living in? Enemies of the cross of Christ. What do you think Paul's getting at? Well, here's this question of context. In the early church, even as early as Paul, there are a number of heresies that are cropping up. And one of them is a broad one that we could characterize as Gnosticism. Anybody know anything about Gnosticism? What do you know about Gnosticism? Shout some things at me. Yeah, I've got secret decoder ring God knowledge that you don't have, okay? So Gnosticism placed a lot of emphasis on hidden knowledge and truth. I've got the truth and you don't. Sound familiar? Somebody else, Gnosticism. What else do we know about Gnosticism? Perfectly said. The Gnostics said this stuff doesn't matter. It's just flesh. It doesn't therefore matter what I do with it. And I can behave like a pagan, but still be a spiritual person. Does that sound familiar? I can do whatever I want to with my body. It is the separation of body and spirit. And that's why a lot of Gnostics said, in fact, I imagine in one degree or another, all Gnostics said that Jesus was not who the scripture claimed he was. He was either completely God and not man at all, or completely man and not God at all, only appeared spiritually. And so much of who Jesus was and what he came to do was all messed up in the mind of the Gnostics. Paul is addressing that in some ways here. And he's saying, yes, it does matter how you behave. And here's how you ought to behave. You ought to behave like we showed you how to behave. There's a pattern. And that pattern is what you saw in me. Not according to the pattern of the world, because they're behaving like pagans. Join with others, verse 17, in following my example, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. And then he goes on to talk about their behavior. Ultimately, he says, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. What's he saying? Translate that. Put that in your own. Yes, Barb, what's he saying? Yeah, well said. Our destiny is heaven. We have a citizenship there, but we belong here for now, and our pattern of behavior should be godly. However, these enemies of Christ have another pattern totally. Their God is in their stomach. Is there anybody who's doing a discipline in Lent that has to do with denying yourself some sort of food or something like that? Anybody? Raise a hand if you're doing something like that. Okay. Is it completely easy, or do you have to have a little talk with yourself occasionally? Yeah, I see you nodding. Yeah. Listen, Sheila goes to bed early because she gets up with the chickens. So I'm by myself for a little while at night, and after 7 o'clock, I'm not eating anything during Lent. For me, that is so hard because I'm bored. Sometimes my God is in my stomach. I don't know, but I want to reach for stuff, and boy, does that show you right where your real appetites are when you try to deny something. And Paul is saying that's exactly what you ought to do because that's the pattern of the world. And we gave you a different one. I love that phrase. It sums it all up just before verse 20. Their mind is on earthly things. But now let's look at this business about future. Verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. Is that only a future thing, by the way? No, it's a right now thing. Right now, we are citizens of heaven. And glory to God, the kingdom of God is not out there someday somewhere. The kingdom of God is right now, and we are living in it. Can I get an amen up in here this morning? Amen. Our citizenship is in heaven, but in some ways, as C.S. Lewis would put it, we are behind enemy lines. And C.S. Lewis says, we have a task to do. We have to keep in communication with the allies. Our citizenship is in heaven, but we got stuff to do here. We belong here for now. We eagerly await, verse 20b, a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so they will be what? Like his glorious body. It's that tension of already and not yet. It's living between the cross and consummation. It's not living on the train platform waiting for the Jesus special to roll up because we have something to do in the right now. So I want you to think about that. I want you to think about this notion of living in God's kingdom already, but not yet. Having a citizenship that is in heaven, but we're here right now for a purpose. And that purpose is to participate with Christ and his purposes for the world. Someday, thanks be to God, because we eagerly await a Savior from there. Someday, thanks be to God, the Lord Jesus Christ will return and he will represent an uprighted creation, a restored creation, back to the Father as a prayer and offering. And we have the joy of participating with him in that. Thanks be to God. But it's not yet. Jesus is coming. But it's not yet. And we have something to do. In this life, we really are journeying from death to life, not the other way around. But in closing, let me ask you to do this. Be aware of where your citizenship is located, and don't behave badly while you're here. You are just passing through in some sort of way, but you don't want to be an obnoxious American abroad. You are a child of the King. Your citizenship is in heaven. And while we are here, and though we hold that passport, we have some important things to do. And how we behave, according to the Apostle Paul, is terribly important. Because, as I said at the beginning, citizenship shapes attitude, behavior, and identity. Who do you belong to? Act like it. Let's pray. Father, we love and adore you, and we long for the day that you return and make all things new and right. And I pray, Lord, that we will not use our heavenly passport as a ticket to laziness or satisfaction or idle sloth inactivity. Lord, I pray that as we carry that heavenly passport, as we remind ourselves that we are citizens of heaven, we have something to do in this country that you've called us to, in this world that you've placed us in. Now, Lord, sometimes like St. Patrick, it seems like we have gone into the most distant, pagan, God-forsaken place we could possibly imagine. Lord Jesus, are you aware of the policies and politics of this place you've put us in? Of course you are. And we will stand firm and not be idle. And we will be salt and light in a world that seems sometimes very tasteless and dark. And we will do exactly what you ask us to do while we are here. For we are not on vacation. It's not a trip of leisure. And as we toil with you in this, in some ways, foreign and pagan place, help us to act like children of the King. And we'll be quick to give you the credit and the glory for all of it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.